Genesis chapter 13. I think everybody probably is aware of this, but I think we also tend to forget it. But that is this. Sin starts small. Right?
Yes, sir.
You ever found yourself in a bad place spiritually and wondered how you got there? I have.
Amen.
We look back, and we try to see where we begin to veer off.
Yeah.
And to veer away, and many times we can't even see that, can't find it.
Right.
Satan is so slick that even once we're in the middle of destruction, we don't even know how we got there.
Right.
But the destructive path of sin always starts small. Satan knows better than to try to tempt you and I with big sins, like murder or rape or stealing a car or whatever.
Yeah.
Because if he tried to do that, we would say, of course, we're not going to do that. That's wrong. We even look at some people who do it and wonder, what were they thinking? So what he does is he starts with a minute change of degrees. An ever so slightly change that we probably don't even recognize it. To go either to the left or to the right of where we're supposed to be headed. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here in Genesis 13, that's not what Lot did. So let's look here in chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I know that you have a message for us tonight. Lord, I ask that you would please help me to relay your message accurately to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to absorb what you have for us. Help us to understand it. And Lord, help us to make change where we ought to. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time tonight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Abraham and Lot were both believers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you read here in Genesis 13 and 14, 15, you will wonder if Lot was a believer. But it's evident in 2 Peter chapter 2 that he was. God's word calls him a righteous man.
Yes.
Not righteous because of his actions, but righteous because he believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I believe there was a time, probably right now, right here, when right before him and Abraham parted ways, I believe he walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
In fact, I even think that him and Abraham probably talked about God and his wonderful works,
yeah,
his miracles. They probably even had morning devotions with their herdmen.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. The Bible doesn't say that, and I recognize I'm speculating. But I think that they were. There definitely was a time that Lot was right with God.
Amen.
And I believe it was prior to this. Shortly prior to this. However, this was a turning point, and I think that's important for us to recognize because you and I will have similar turning points. I would like to think that we didn't. But there has been times in all of our lives where we took a dive spiritually.
Yeah.
I would like to think that we will never do that again. But we might. I think it's important that we recognize tonight the red flags. That's what I would like to point out. But God had blessed Abraham and Lot. The Bible says that they were wealthy. They had a lot of cattle, a lot of gold, a lot of silver. They had a lot of servants. But because of this, they were getting crowded in the same area. The herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot were kind of butting heads on where they were going to put the cattle. And your cattle's too close to my cattle, and y'all need to back up, go over there somewhere. You're invading our space. Don't be drinking out of this brook. We had our cattle here first.
Yeah.
They were arguing. They were bickering.
Right.
I think it's important to note right here that we are all going to have problems even when we're serving God.
Amen.
I believe Abraham was. I believe Lot was at this time anyway. And yet they still had some problems. You'll never have a problem-free life.
Right.
Even when you're trying your absolute best to serve God.
Right, brother.
But in verse 8, the Bible shows us that Abraham, desiring unity, told Lot to decide which direction that he wanted to go and that he would go the other direction.
Mm.
Abraham, even though he was the patriarch, gave Lot the option to go where he wanted to and humbly took what was left. Just because you have the authority to take what you want doesn't mean that you have the right to be selfish.
Amen.
And I hope that sinks in sometimes right here because there are times that when you have a position of authority over children, over whoever,
yeah,
people that work under you or whatever the case is,
yeah,
we can tend to get this feeling that we have the right to take what we want.
Mm.
Okay, maybe so, but God's probably not going to bless that.
Amen.
Especially if it's a selfish mentality. Abraham wasn't being that way. Abraham knew that no matter where he went, God was going to protect him. He was going to provide for him.
Yes, amen.
And he didn't have to do that for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that Lot was given the opportunity to take the best, most fertile pasture, and he took it. I think this was the beginning of Lot's demise.
Yes.
Selfishness is probably the beginning of most of our sinful directions that we take.
That is so true. Amen.
Anytime you're being selfish,
yeah,
it will lead to a bigger problem.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think it's also important that we recognize and call it what it really is, but being selfish is a sin.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. That's how I grew up. My parents were that way. I inherited it. There's some truth to that inherited stuff there, because we did all inherit sin.
Yeah.
But we can't blame that on anybody. We still have a choice.
Amen.
So Lot decided that he wanted the well-watered plain.
Mm.
And again, Abraham was okay with that. So Lot's selfishness led him to be lured by the wealthy commerce going on in Sodom. The Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom and lived in the cities in the plain close to Sodom. He didn't move into Sodom straight from Abraham. There was a period of time there. There was a lot of other decisions made between the day that Abraham said, look, we need to part ways,
separate,
let's get a little bit of distance here so that we're not fighting and arguing. And then the day when God destroyed Sodom.
Right.
There's a lot of time there. I don't know, probably years. The Bible doesn't really say
how
long that period of time was, but what I'm getting at is that there was a lot of decisions that Lot made between that day when he parted ways with Abraham and the day that he said, come on, honey, we're moving into Sodom. This probably would have never happened if Lot would have died to selfishness and said to Abraham, unk, you deserve the better pasture.
Mm.
So why don't you just pick where you want to go, and I'll go the other direction.
Yeah.
I wonder what life would have been like for him.
Mm.
For his wife.
Yeah.
For his daughters.
Yeah.
But that one selfish decision led to another one. And then another. He didn't pick up on it. He didn't see the red flag.
Mm-mm.
All he saw was gain.
Yeah.
Something for me.
Mm.
When you have that mindset, you're already on the wrong path.
That's right.
No, you haven't crashed and burned yet. But you're probably going to.
Mm.
In fact, you will.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay on that path.
Right.
David started down that path, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that recently. Just being a little lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to go out and battle. wanted to kick back, cross his feet, put his hands behind his head, and enjoy a comfortable bed in the middle of the day. While his men were fighting for their life and his. Next thing you know, he's committed adultery. Then murder.
That's right.
And I want to believe that it was about a year before he made things right with God. And if you read some of the Psalms that he wrote during that time, they're pretty dark.
Yeah.
Where he talks about his soul was dry.
Yeah.
He had no purpose.
Yeah.
He felt miserable. David made things right between him and the Lord, but there were portions of his family that never did. It's important that we see these red flags.
Yes, sir.
Selfishness wasn't Lot's only problem. He was also not content with what God had already blessed him with. Remember, he was wealthy.
Yeah.
But what lured him to Sodom was their commerce. Sodom was a wealthy city. And what he saw there was opportunity to make a buck.
Yeah.
Did he need another buck? Mm-hmm. No. He had enough. In fact, he had more than he needed. But he wanted more.
Right.
John D. Rockefeller, on his deathbed, was asked this question. Mr. Rockefeller, it appears you have everything you could ever desire. Is there anything else that you want? He said, yes. Another dollar. Said that with a mask on his face because he was afraid of catching disease in his own house and on his deathbed. Sick with some disease already, and that's what he wanted. Solomon said that the eyes of man are never satisfied.
Right.
Solomon was wealthier than Lot.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, he was the wealthiest man ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times that wasn't enough for him either.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how much you have, covetousness is always a problem.
Right.
Doesn't matter how poor, how rich you are, you can be covetousness. You can have covetousness as a homeless person, or you can have it as the wealthiest man alive.
So true. Amen.
Always wanting more.
Mm.
You're much happier when you're thankful for what God has already blessed you with than you are when you get what you thought you wanted.
Right.
Learn to be content. I don't think it was a wise choice for Lot to selfishly decide to take the well-watered plains. But it could have stopped there. His covetousness led him deeper into sin. He wound up moving to Sodom, where sin was running rampant, and he even became a governmental leader in the city.
That's right.
When you and I think about that, we wonder, how could he do that? It's such a wicked city.
Mm.
Why would he go there? Well, he was blinded. He was blinded to his own sin. Therefore, the sins of Sodom didn't seem so bad. It's the same way with you and I.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When we have sin in our life, the sins of others doesn't seem so bad. That's why we can watch it on TV and laugh at it.
Mm.
That's why we can listen to stuff on radio or on social media and scroll through all kinds of garbage and it not even hurt our spirit.
Right.
Because we're blinded. I think there ought to be some red flags flying here. Lot was in trouble. If you studied his life, it gets worse.
That's right.
For Lot, it was one bad choice after another.
Mm.
He eventually fathered, through incest, a heathen nation that would afflict Israel forever, even today. Aren't they the Midianites?
Moab and Ammonites.
Moab?
Moabites and Ammonites.
Moabites and Ammonites. By the way, this didn't happen overnight.
Mm-mm.
Lot didn't say, okay, Abraham, I'll take the well-watered plains. And then 2 days later, he's in Sodom.
Mm-mm.
Again, Satan doesn't take us to the destructive end quickly, or else we wouldn't go.
Right.
It takes time for him to pull the wool over our eyes.
Right, Brother Bruce. Good.
It takes time for him to get us warmed up to our sin.
Mm.
Not only do we not see it, we like it.
Mm.
Don't want to let go of it. Your destruction won't happen overnight either, but you may be on that path right now. Are you allowing selfishness to dictate some of your decisions?
Mm.
What about covetousness?
Mm.
Wanting that whatever. Wanting more. Wanting something so much that you're thinking about it an awful lot. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others."
Yeah.
If you're like me, you fight selfishness daily.
Yeah.
I've been working on memorizing Philippians chapter 2. Mm. So every day I say that verse to myself, along with all the others that I'm working on memorizing. It does help me and remind me life ain't about me.
Yeah.
Life is about doing what God has built me for and enabled me to do. And that's not about me. That's about others.
Mm.
If you follow the life of Jesus, it was about others. All he did, everything he did was about doing for others.
Amen.
I don't think he even had a wallet. In fact, every time that there was a need for money, he didn't have any. He had to ask his disciple, "Hey, y'all got any money?" "No." "All right, we'll go fishing. And when you catch that fish, there'll be some money in there. Then go pay the bill." He didn't even have money.
Mm.
Even though he owns it all.
Amen.
And yet we get wrapped up with mine. Mine. Mine.
Yeah.
We argue. We push. We complain. We get angry with other people over mine.
Mm.
I think it was either John Wesley or Charles Spurgeon, one or the other. I don't remember which. But their house, they were gone at a preaching event, and somehow someone found out that their house was burning to the ground, and they came running and told them that their house was burning, and the preacher said, "No, it's not." "Yes, it is. I saw it." "No, it's not." "Yes, sir. I saw it with my own eyes. Your house is burning." He said, "That's not my house. It's God's. And He'll take care of it."
Amen.
But that's not our mentality.
No, no.
That's why we get so upset when someone takes our stuff or dents our car or whatever, or takes our position on the road because we think it's ours.
Yeah.
We're so selfish. We look at what they have and we want it. We even sometimes get mad with God because He didn't give it to us, He gave it to them. We're covetous. We are already on that destructive path, and we need to get off
Amen.
Of that path.
Amen.
Remember, sin always starts small. Don't say it won't happen to me. If you say that will never happen to me because I would never do that, you are closer to destruction than you think.
Amen.
That's what we call pride. So not only are you struggling with selfishness and covetousness, but you're also dealing with pride, real close to destruction.
Yes, amen.
None of us are beyond murder. None of us are beyond rape. None of us are beyond stealing, embezzlement. None of us. We all have the same capacity to sin. It's only by the grace of God that we aren't.
Amen.
Check yourself to see if you are being selfish. Are you more concerned about what you want or what they want or need? Are you content with what God's already blessed you with? In other words, if you never got that whatever you're looking for or desiring, would you be happy? Whether it be a promotion, that next vehicle, the next bigger house, that job, whatever.
Yeah.
If you never got what you are hoping to get and working so hard to get, would you be happy? We should. We should. And if we can't, or if we feel that is going to bring us happiness, we're wrong. Only God can give us true happiness.
Amen.
And that'll come when we're content.
Amen.
And not selfish.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're on that destructive path tonight or not. But I hope that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to whether or not you are. Because we don't want to wind up like Lot.
No, sir.
We know how he wound up, and it wasn't pretty.
No.
Not for him or his family. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I do thank you for opening our eyes tonight to some things that we need to repent of. Lord, I pray that you would help me not to be selfish. Help me not to covet. Lord, help me not to be proud, but humble and content. Lord, I pray that you would help me to shine a bright light for you. Lord, help us to get off the destructive path of sin. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to